the song is we go throughout our day to live as who we want us to. In your son's name, I pray.
Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 37. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. For truly your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Then the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was soon upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessed of land and of houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet."
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't get over this world anymore. Oh Lord, it's enough, I have no friend like you.
7:13-16. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
We'll sing the chorus after the last verse.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for this opportunity to come worship you, to open up our songbooks, to open up our hearts, and to sing these songs of praises. We pray that we are an encouragement one to another and that the sound is beautiful to your ears. We are so thankful, Lord, for this earth that you have blessed us with, but we are so looking forward to the home after this, the home above heaven that you have prepared for us. Even though we know that this earth has its beauties, we know that it can't compare to the beauty of heaven. We pray that as we go through this service and then as we go through our lives, that we live in such a way that we can have that home in heaven with you. These things we pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Be reading from John 18:28-38. Then they led Jesus from Cyprus to the Praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and you judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death," that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the Praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and your chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You have said rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all."
goes between Mark 7 and 9 is the sign of invitation after making stop. This time we're taking 670.
This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. We are pilgrims in a strange land. That's what the theme has been so far of all the songs and the prayers and the scripture readings that we've had. We've remembered the words of our Lord as he spoke to Pilate, where he explained to him that his kingdom wasn't of this world. That's why his servants weren't fighting. And we remember Hebrews, the 11th chapter as well. Right, where we see a great number of our heroes of faith who were looking for a future kingdom. And that's because they realized that they really weren't of this world. But I have to confess that that's a very difficult thing for me to really internalize, because I don't know about you, but I've lived on this world all my life. And I'm willing to bet that you have too. If not, talk to me afterwards. We can get you help. So it's a very strange feeling. So how is it that we live like we are not truly of this world? I was listening to a series of interviews not so long ago, and they were interviewing various different people who we consider as heroes. And so they were interviewing this man who, person had a seizure on a subway station, fell on the subway tracks as a train was coming. And he left his two girls on the track and jumped and covered the guy up and covered him with his body as the train passed over them. What in the world made you do something like that? Or this woman who was out walking and she looked out, and in this field there was another woman who was getting gored to death by this bull. But there was an electric fence separating them. And this woman, She shocks herself with electric fence, pushes through that electric fence, and goes and picks up a stick that's on the ground and beats the bull until he finally relents and she can get the woman away from that bull. We hear things like this and I marvel. How in the world are those people able to do those things? And so the interviews were about asking them that very thing. What is it that made you decide to do that? Because I'm willing to bet that the guy who dove in the subway had never done this before, right? And I'm sure he didn't sit down and said, you know, if I ever am in a subway and I see something happening, I'm gonna go dive in that. I mean, I'm sure they didn't that thing. And they were looking in these series of interviews for what makes heroes tick, what makes them that way. And they didn't really find anything mind-boggling out. What they found was the common thread through a bunch of these heroes were that they had decided long ago that they weren't the kind of person that was going to watch something like that happen and just let it happen, let those people suffer. It was a mindset that they had put on. They had adopted that mindset long before. Maybe when they were children, they just grew up thinking that I'm just not the person that watches a person die or suffer and does nothing about it. What I want to suggest to you is that is how we need to learn to live as people who are not truly of this world. We need to have that mindset, that internalization, that I am really not of here. And a really fantastic example of this, I think we can read in the same Hebrews, the 11th chapter, just a few verses before. Because we read of Abraham. Abraham lived in his land his entire life, the land that was promised to him as a home, as a stranger. His entire life lived with that mindset. And back in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 8, it says that by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. This was a place that was given to him. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. So we remember God appeared to Abraham. He told him to leave this place that's your home. I mean, home is something that's really is a strong feeling for us. Maria and I have now been here about 5 years. And this place now starts to feel like home. But if you've ever had to move away from your home, you know what a gut-wrenching moment it is and how displaced and lonely you feel for a very long time. Home is capital. It's very important to us. And Abraham left that home because God had promised him a better land, something better. And he didn't know where he was going. You know, he didn't have GPS, Google to figure it out for him. Yeah, you probably have also sensed that if you ever travel maybe out west, a place far away from here. It's still America, but it feels really different. Things are just really, really different in a lot of ways. Abraham left. He went to this place where he doesn't even know. And it says in verse 9, by faith he went to live in the land of promise. So that land that he was given as an inheritance, he went to live there. But as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. It wasn't just Abraham, but all of his kids as well. And his grandson, they also lived in that land as strangers. I don't know what it would, I mean, maybe for kids who like camping, living in a tent, it's fun for a week, maybe a summer if you have a really good tent, but I mean, living permanently in tents, you don't have that feeling of home. You know, you go where, you know, where there's grazing for your cattle. But Abraham internalized, you know, that he was a stranger there. And in fact, he wouldn't let people give him land. If we remember this from his story, whenever his wife died, when Sarah died, and he wants to bury her in the cave of Machpelah, he will not accept money from them. He keeps this notion that he is a stranger in this land, and he keeps faith that one day that land will be granted to him. It goes on. How did he do that? How did Abraham live like that? That sounds very difficult to me. It says, verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham changed his mentality. He changed his mindset. His mindset was of one of a stranger. In his case, he was literally a stranger in his land. But he was able to handle all of that because his mind was set to something bigger, right? For that city whose builder is God. And then we read again what the passage we read before. These all died. I mean, he's referring to these. Those are the people he mentioned before, Abraham and his descendants, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. See, that they had internalized that. They realized. They realized those things. And they died in faith, in full belief that they would receive those promises that were promised to them. It says further, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And I wonder if many times in my own life is that I really, the day was gorgeous yesterday. there are a lot of things on this earth that I truly love. I love getting out on my bike and riding through, you know, the beautiful woods and nature, and when the weather is gorgeous, it's even better, and I love it. There are many things that I love, but sometimes I wonder if I love those things too much, if I hold on too much to those things, because we, like Abraham, should be looking towards the city whose builder and maker is God. And see, whenever we speak like that, as 14 says, we make it clear that we're seeking a homeland. And he goes on, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. Right? They could have gone back. See, if Abraham had not adopted that mindset, he could have just said, forget this, you're not really giving me this land, I'm going back to Ur of the Chaldees. Right? Because that's where all of his family was. Right? That's where all of his relatives were. That's where surely they had stores and farms and things to support life. But he didn't, right? As it is, they desire a better country that is a heavenly one. And God is not ashamed, therefore, to be called their God. He has prepared for them a city. So we're reminded of really tremendous words and concepts that really we should adopt. But what is promised us is so much better than this. And we have also been promised a better city. And if we look in John, the 14th chapter, we can read about this. We've been reading this verse, citing it a lot. This is where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But just prior to him saying that, starting in verse 1 in John 14, he instructs his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. This was a very troubling time for the disciples. Jesus was in his final time on this earth. Things were tumultuous for them. And Jesus had told them that I am actually going to go and be crucified and die. And so he instructs them and he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, brethren, we believe that these were words not merely spoken to the apostles that were there at that time, but they're words that are spoken to us, that the place that he has prepared is for all of us. Right? And if he goes to prepare a place for all of us, then he will come back and take us there. And so these are the things that we need to keep in our minds as Christians, and this should be something that we internalize. You on that terrible day, will one day leave this earth. And when you leave this earth, you will not yet have received that place that Jesus has gone to prepare for you. You, like Abraham, will have to die in full faith that it will happen, that it will be there. And so this should be the attitude that we take. And this should be the confidence that we have. And this should be the way that we live our lives. It should be evident as people see us around us. This world is not our home. That's the message this morning. It's our custom to offer an invitation for those who have not accepted Christ, have not been baptized. And we want to teach you about that. We urge you to be baptized. Or if you are a Christian and need the prayers of the church, we also encourage you to make those needs known. Do that now while we stand and while we sing.
Just a few more.